listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to study 2 Corinthians 13, which is the final chapter of 2 Corinthians. If we could have a title of today's lesson, it would be the standoff between truth and false testimony. Paul is writing them this final letter, and he wants to know if Jesus lives in them or not. He is referring primarily to the false leaders who are making such a show of their authority and their leadership. The big question that lingers over the Corinthian church is what is to be done with these disobedient men of the congregation there. There was a standoff going on, much like the standoff at the OK Corral, as to whose words were to be believed, the false leaders or Paul the Apostle. It's as though the court's in session and Paul is the judge, and he's going to call witnesses, and he will pronounce sentence on those who are found to be liars. It is those who have lied on Paul and have tried to discredit him and destroy the church there. They had gained a following and had openly taunted Paul and had made various accusations against him, much as a gunslinger would call the sheriff out in the Old West for a quick draw solution as to who would be the last man standing. Now, Paul had been in the Corinthian church for over 3 years, and he's had to put up with their taunts and their mockery. They have accused him of being weak and not an apostle. In our last two lessons, Paul said in sarcasm that he agrees with them as to his weakness when he was boasting as a fool, he says. But he says that Jesus Christ lives in him, and in him he is strong. Now, they had accused Paul of being a coward, that he would write to them tough letters, but in a face-off he'd not be so bold. So there'd been threats against Paul, and he answers them in this letter. He tells them plainly that he's going to take care of them when he makes his third and final visit to Corinth, and for them to be ready. He tells them to examine themselves to see if they're in the truth when he comes, because it is the truth and the power of Jesus Christ that will be the deciding factor of whether he is a true apostle or not, and whether they are true apostles or not. He says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, this sounds like a court, doesn't it? We have witnesses. Paul is the judge. And we have those who are on trial. Now, in their mind, Paul is the one on trial. But they don't realize the power that Paul has as an apostle. He warns them that when he comes and he finds those that are still sinning and have not repented, that he will not spare, meaning they may be excommunicated from the church. He's going to call them publicly before the congregation. And Paul asked the Corinthian believers to examine themselves and to be a witness for or against themselves as to whether they're in the faith or not. He wants them to take a test and see if they pass it or not. He even speaks about it's possible they may fail the test. Now, what are the questions on the test that Paul is giving them? Well, do they have the works of Christ in signs and miracles to prove that they are apostles? our work tells whether we are a true witness or not. Paul said in last week's lesson in 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. He was speaking about himself that testified that he was a true apostle. He asked another question. Do they have the witness of the Spirit to prove that they have the Spirit of Christ in the fruit of the Spirit? Now the witness of the Spirit of God says whether we're a true believer or not. Only when we have the fruit of the Spirit in love and peace, hope, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, only in those things can it be said that we have the Spirit of Christ. So we may ask, how can we know that we have the Spirit of God? Well, it's found in several places in Scripture. It tells of an inner witness. In Romans, Paul says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's in Romans 8:16. That's one way we can know that there is an inner testimony, a sense within produced by the Spirit of God who dwells within us that we are of the family of God. It's also called an inner peace. In Romans 5, he says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We no longer have that conflict within us to know that we are the Lord's. We may have a conflict with temptation or with not understanding some things, but we know and we believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that He is the Son of God, and we have repented of our sins, and we know that we cannot make heaven or be saved by our own works, but we are saved by grace and we walk by faith in that justification. We believe we're going to heaven when we die. That's settled in our hearts and in our minds because of what Jesus has done and not because of what we have done. Another test question is, do they have the hunger for the Word of God to grow and become strong in spirit? The Scripture speaks of desires that are born in the heart of a new Christian. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, they crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And that's one of the marks of a born-again believer, is that they have a deep and sudden thirst for the Word of God, to know the truth of God. Another question is, do we have a good conscience toward God, that we belong to Him, and know within ourselves that we've done our very best in serving Christ? We have to be honest and truthful with ourselves to know if we're in the truth or not. The witness of ourselves through examination to see if our life lines up with what a believer's life should be like. Can we deceive ourselves? We surely can. We can believe that we will go to heaven when we die, but yet live like the devil every day. Yes, we can deceive ourselves in that way. But Jesus tells us not to be deceived, that what a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we have an inner change within us, it will be outwardly evident. Others will be able to see that change in us because it will affect our attitude and the way we behave. And one of the striking things about a new convert is that their mind changes about so many things. They have a light that shines within them to make them see things differently. They look at things the way God would look at it. instead of their own selfish desires. And in some instances, things that they formerly thought were okay, immoral behavior, lying, stealing, has now become acutely evident to them that that's not of God. And they make an about face. And that's because that the light of Christ lives in them. Now, if we want to compare ourselves with an evil person, that would not be wise, Paul said in last week's lesson. It's not wise to compare ourselves with one another. We must compare ourselves with Jesus. He is our example. Paul has said that we know we've passed from death unto life because we no longer want to do the evil things that we formerly wanted to do. We now want to do righteous things. Another question as to examine ourselves as whether Jesus lives in us or not is, do we have the love of Christ toward others as Jesus has? It was quite evident that these false apostles had no love for Paul or for the others in the Corinthian church. If they had loved Paul, they would not have falsely accused him. They would have known that he belonged to Jesus Christ because he spoke the words of Jesus. There is certain inescapable evidence when Jesus lives within a person. There will be a difference in that person than another person of the world. We will see the difference. We are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We're to give ourselves this test. And Paul says in verse 5 and 6, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Then we know that we need Jesus, that we have fallen far from him, or that he's not been within us at all. Now, the witness of others about our salvation may not be a true witness. These false apostles were not true witnesses. He wants to know what kind of a witness that they are. They were hostile witnesses. In a court of law, it's the witnesses who are examined so that the truth of the evidence that's presented in a trial can be found. A court of law will accept a witness as telling the truth unless they are a hostile witness. And who is a hostile witness? And in what circumstance can a witness be declared a hostile witness? And what are the consequences of being declared a hostile witness? The definition of a hostile witness from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia on the web, says a hostile witness is a witness in a trial who testifies for the opposing party, or a witness who offers adverse testimony to the calling party during direct examination. A witness that is called by the opposing party is presumed to be hostile when the witness testimony is openly antagonistic or is clearly prejudiced to the opposing party. A witness called by the direct examiner can be declared hostile by a judge at the request of the examiner. A party examining a hostile witness may question the witness in cross-examination, as a witness, he's presumed that he will be truthful. A hostile witness can be declared if it's proven by the questions asked that the witness would not give their evidence fairly and would not tell the truth and cannot be believed. And when a court makes the opinion that a witness is proven to be hostile, then the court may allow others to be called to contradict his evidence. The hostile witness's statements are then brought in as evidence, and it can be cross-examined as to whether his testimony is the truth or not. And if there are other witnesses that refute his testimony so that his testimony is proven unreliable, he can be declared a hostile witness. A person cannot be declared a hostile witness by the prosecutor or the defense attorney. A hostile witness is declared so by the judge. And Paul is the judge in these proceedings at the Corinthian church, and he has declared that these false apostles are giving false testimony. They are hostile witnesses against him. A hostile witness's own words is evidence that he is a hostile witness. The viciousness and the hatefulness of the false apostles' words against Paul is testimony that they are hostile witnesses against Paul and should not be believed. So Paul threatens severe rebuke against these false apostles when he arrives in Corinth, and he has told them, I have wrote you other letters to warn you, and you continue in your sins. But here he says, I will not spare when I come to Corinth to correct what's been going on about claims against me and the gospel. Now there's a time that you need to stand up for yourself when your witness as a child of God is being attacked. I've thought this week about the Columbine murders that happened years ago and the young girl who was killed because she proclaimed Jesus as her Savior. If she had taken a back seat or had hesitated about her witness of Jesus Christ, we don't know what the outcome would have been. She may have been killed anyway. But apparently she was quick to answer those men who were wanting her life because of her witness of Jesus Christ. She did not hesitate. She spoke up. It cost her life. There may come a time during our lifetime that we may be called on to say and stand up for what we believe. And we hope that in that time we will not take a back seat, but we will proclaim loudly that we belong to the Lord Jesus and that He has saved us indeed. And we will be true witnesses of what He has done in our lives. Paul is calling for the repentance of these false leaders, but they are so arrogant and so full of pride, it is doubtful that they ever repented. We know that he never solved all of the problems of Corinth, but he did solve many of them, and he was reconciled to them. We don't know the outcome of the visit that Paul had after he wrote this chapter. We can only hope that they repented and that they supported the church and got their lives straight. Now, the false teachers wanted to make a big issue at this church because they thought they had strong proof that they were honest, but they were not. Jesus himself was crucified, and he appeared to be weak in his crucifixion. Paul also appears to be weak as an apostle. And I believe when he appeared to these Corinthians, they could see the power of God in him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, the greatest witness that Paul was in the faith was his life of persecution. It is the sincerest witness to truth that one would die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a person who's seeking self-glory is not so apt to want to die. That doesn't make sense. How could we relish in our own glory if we died or we took beatings? No, to suffer persecution is to be a servant and to be a slave, not to be a leader. We would never want to be a slave to falsehood or to hopelessness. That would be to suffer in vain, to suffer for nothing. No, Paul's suffering is in Christ, and that was his greatest witness that he was in the faith, as were the early church fathers. The word martyr comes from a man whose name was Justin Martyr. He lived
in the years
between 100 and 165. His last words in Rome before he was put to death, "We desire nothing more than to suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ, for this gives us salvation and joyfulness before his dreadful judgment seat, at which we all must appear." Now, in verses 7 through 10, Paul prays for these Corinthians that they might do no evil. He wants them to be saved because he's preached to them, so that they would not be a reproach, and also that they might be free from blame when he comes to see them. He says that the power of God was given to him to edify the church, not to destruction. But he must stand for the truth, he says. In verses 11 through 14, he gives a wonderful benediction to them. He wants them to be perfect, of good comfort, to be in one mind, to live in peace, to greet one another with a holy kiss. The last verse, he mentions the Trinity, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. He desires to be with them all. Now, I want to read you 2 Corinthians 13 in the New Living Translation. This is Paul's final advice. "This is the third time I'm coming to visit you. As the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have already warned those who had been sinning when I was there on my second visit. Now I again warn them and all others, just as I did before, that this next time I will not spare them. I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak in his dealings with you. He's a mighty power among you. Although he died on the cross in weakness, he now lives by the mighty power of God. And we too are weak, but we live in him, and we have God's power, the power that we use in dealing with you. So examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means that you failed the test. I hope you recognize that we have passed the test and are approved by God. We pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. We pray this not to show that our ministry to you has been successful, but because we want you to do what is right, even if we ourselves seem to have failed. Our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. We are glad to be weak if you are really strong. What we pray for is your restoration to maturity. I am writing this to you before I come, hoping that I won't need to deal harshly with you when I do come. For I want to use the authority the Lord has given me to build you up and not to tear you down. The next heading is Paul's final greetings. Verse 11, Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Rejoice, change your ways, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other in Christian love. All the Christians here send you their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that we can know without a doubt that you live in us. Even though we have failures and even though we are weak, we know, Father, that in you we have strength. And we know, Lord, that we can be overcomers in you. You said so. We trust in you, Lord, and we walk by faith. And we ask, Father, that you would deliver us from all evil, that we may be well pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Lady.